Hello and welcome to the Scottish Housing News podcast. Today we're featuring the future of the high-rise, based around a bite-sized briefing which Share are organising, partly triggered by cladding issues in high-rises, but partly triggered by North Lanarkshire's enormous redevelopment programme, and just the future of multis in general. Where do they fit into the new net zero world? So I'm Jimmy Black, I'm the co-host of the Scottish Housing News podcast, along with Kieran Finlay, who's the editor of the Scottish Housing News. And with us today, all over Zoom, are Deborah Campbell, who works for Share. She's the Learning and Development Officer. She's organising the bite-sized briefing. Stephen Llewellyn, who's the Head of Housing Solutions at North Lanarkshire Council. And also Mary Clark, who is a high-rise tenant. She works for Share, but she lives in a high-rise and has valuable lived experience, stuff that we're all looking for all the time these days. So I used to live in a multi as well, and so did Kieran. And so did Stephen. Deborah never has, so we might have a few reminiscences after we've heard from Mary. So, Mary, what's it like living in a multi?
It's great. It's great. I've lived here now for 8 years. I live in the city centre of Glasgow. I've got amazing views across the whole of the city, views that you would pay probably hundreds of thousands of pounds for if you were to buy a flat elsewhere. It's a great sense of community. It's a safe area. There's always people on hand. I love it.
Isn't it full of people taking drugs? The fabric will be a very poor condition. There'll be a lot of damp. There'll be water running down the walls. You'll be constantly being evacuated for emergencies and taken to community centres for refuge. And these are some of the kind of stereotypical things that people have in their heads about multis, that they'll be frightening people in the landing, that you're worried about passing when you're going for the lift. Don't you have any of that stuff?
No, I mean, I've never experienced any of that. I've never been evacuated from the flats, ever. When you talk about damp, every flat I've lived in, privately rented and everything, has had a series of damp. It's nothing different. They come out and they treat it and they look after the flats. Yeah, from anecdotally, I think people have told me that there's been drug users and things like that in the flats, but I've never experienced it. My neighbours, I know everybody on my floor. I know virtually every resident by sight who lives in the block, and there's 22 floors. So it's very, very safe. I'd never lived in a high rise until I moved in here. And I had those preconceptions as well, that it was going to be dangerous. There's going to be people on the landing. I was never going to be able to sleep at night for parties and things like that. But I've not experienced any of that at all.
Do you have any kind of security system? Can you describe that for us?
Well, you've got a fob entry system, as you would have in a private flat. We have a concierge that's on call 24 hours. So any trouble you have, or if you hear anything, or if you're nervous about anybody coming on your floor or anything like that, you just press your intercom and the concierge guys will be out within about 10 minutes.
Would you bring up children in a multi-flat?
I would, and one of my neighbours does. She's got two young children that she brings up, and it's great because we have a communal area outside where the children will play in the summer when it's been beautiful this last little while. It's been like a proper little community out there. Kids running around playing, you know, people sitting in the grass talking to each other, the usual things. I would definitely bring up children here.
Kieran, can I just bring you in now? Because we're going to bring in Stephen and Deborah very shortly. You actually were a child in a multi. What was that like?
Yeah, I've got to say my experience was slightly different to Mary's. When I moved to Emily, it was giving me one good thing, which was secure and long-term accommodation, which was what we needed as a family at that time. But I was primary four until about primary seven or first year. Didn't really experience that community aspect. I was on the first floor, so maybe I didn't experience the living in Emily the way that you would if you were higher up, that sort of thing. But I really only seen the people on my level, and that was it. There weren't any kids there. And I did find the lifts and the stairwells quite oppressive, and that you had to use them and you couldn't kind of escape anywhere else. That was my experience. It wasn't altogether a terrible one, but that's kind of like my abiding memory of it.
And Stephen, I mean, I know it's unusual for the Head of Housing Solutions to come on and talk about anything personal, but you did grow up in a multi. What are your thoughts about it? Do you have a balanced view of it? Do you remember it with affection, or would you think it was just an awful thing?
No, a lot of Jimmy, what Mary has just said there, I can actually relate to that, Mary. I moved into the multi, we were just a child, just a baby. We moved in just, most of the multis were built, as you know, in the late 60s, so we were the first kind of people going in, 84 new families going in, and there was absolutely a sense of community, no doubt about it. I stayed in the tower until I was 18, 19, and I had a great upbringing, myself and my sister, my mother and my father. And a lot of what Mary said, it was families. In the days, it was families. A lot of the families were moving out of tenements at that point, and there was absolutely a sense of community. They were safe, no doubt about it. They were secure. The cleanliness in the towers, the caretaking services as they were there, it was only the late 80s and 90s where concierge then started getting in. They started overclad and started doing kind of pitch roofs and things. But a lot of what Mary has said just now, which I'm really pleased to hear that, Mary, is what I experienced and what tenants in North Lanarkshire actually still tell us to a certain extent. And I know that might sound a bit of a strange thing for me to be saying, where we've obviously announced the biggest demolition and reprovisioning probably in Scottish history in terms of 48 tower blocks when they come down. But we still get a lot of tenants saying that the sense of community is there. It's slightly moved to an extent where a lot of the existing tenants started to move away. Families grew up and new people were coming in, and people were then kind of feeding back that sense of community was starting to kind of dwindle to a certain extent. But we still get loads of tenants associations across the 48 towers in North Lanarkshire, and we still get that feedback, Mary, in terms of the sense of community. On a personal point of view, I can look back in my childhood, and I had an amazing childhood. And what Mary said about children, we had loads of communal area outside, so you come in from school, you'd go playing. Then I've got to say I had a great upbringing in the tour, and I've got absolutely fond memories. I can't say anything else from that, definitely.
And Deborah, you grew up in a farm, I believe. So from your perspective, you know, were multi something completely foreign and strange?
Absolutely, yeah. So I came from, you know, from the Fife countryside surrounded. Now, Fife does have multi stories, but nothing like when you come to Glasgow and you're like, wow, you're bombarded with them. But interestingly, when I worked for Glasgow Housing Association, I used to take people new starts round on a bus tour so they could see all the housing stock. And one of the things we used to stop at were the multi-stories, and we'd take them into the, this is before Red Road was all kind of knocked down, but it was half empty at the time, and you'd go up right to the top floor and I'd be saying, right, just stand still, feel the building sway. It was, for me, I was like, this is just amazing. In fact, one time someone tried to tightrope walk across that. Does anyone remember that way back in the day? And then got, I think, a few steps out and realised how windy it is and I'd come back in again. a bit mental. But yeah, I do remember that, like this whole sense that people used to say it was a right sense of community there, because it had everything. It had shops, hairdressers, you know, a school, a nursery, you name it, everything. But I do think sometimes people are guilty of romanticising things when they're not there anymore. So you wonder if, you know, was it really that good, because obviously they brought them down. But I think from that, they, in the People's Palace, they had this whole setup of what it was like in those flats and all the kind of wee sort of memories from people living there. And it was actually quite sad. You could really see it was an absolute sense of community there. But for me, I have no experience in living in them at all, apart from taking people round. This is what they look like. But for me, that was an experience, actually seeing what they were like. Especially those Red Rose ones. They were massive inside. You actually can't believe how big they are.
In my former days as a councillor in Dundee, I was involved in the multi-use demolition programme, but I was actually actively trying to stop the demolitions because I felt they were misguided. Mm. And they were, not in every case, and they were the Alexander Street multis, I was very glad to see come down. I thought they needed to come down, and I visited tenants who were suffering extreme damp, and you know, they were in a fairly dilapidated condition. But there were a number of multis that I would have really liked to have saved. But we still have 11 in Dundee, plus we have other multis that are run by Abertay Housing Association. They're extremely popular. And, you know, I think those multis are here to stay for the foreseeable future. But some of the things that I mentioned at the beginning about evacuation and so on, I mean, it can be incredibly inconvenient if, for example, there's a leak from the dryer riser, fire hydrant, whatever you call it, in the building. And you might find that you know, a whole floor or the whole side of a multi has to be evacuated. And of course, there are things like fire, and Grenfell Tower brought that into sharp focus when the cladding went on fire. And probably the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life was watching on the TV as that multi burned. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there are a whole lot of things which shape the perception of tenants, maybe in North Lanarkshire and anywhere else in Scotland, when you ask the question, should these multis be demolished or retained? And a whole lot of other things about tenants' aspirations and lifestyle. which you have to match against homelessness and other things like that, the housing, the chronic housing need in Scotland. So there's a whole lot of things to throw into this pot, isn't there? Which brings us to Stephen. Stephen, can we start? Can I start with you? And I'm sure Kieran will be wanting to ask you questions too. Why did you set out in this programme to demolish so many multis?
Jimmy, just can I give you a wee bit of background context then to North Lanarkshire? So there's 48 tower blocks initially, 4,000 homes within the 48 tower block. North Lanarkshire and the former authorities, the towers are based in the former Monklands and Motherwell authorities, and both had actually invested heavily in the tower blocks over the period, and North Lanarkshire continued that on. So all 48 tower blocks had been overclad, had pitched roofs, had concierge put in them 24 hours a day, security cameras. So there was fairly significant investment actually in the tower blocks over the period. And we also started putting sprinkler systems in as well and upgrading the properties in terms of fire safety, fire stopping, and actually new doors as well, the new fire 60s and the old 30 kind of minute ones. You spoke there about evacuation, and I've been 35, 36 years here, involved in the towers that whole period of my career actually, coming all the way through, up through the ranks. I've had an evacuation on one occasion, and that was in a tower block in Motherwell, and it was because of an asbestos outbreak. It was nothing to do with fire. And the whole time, because of the stay put policy and because of the compartmentalisation, the tower block, certainly in North Lanarkshire, are probably one of the safest. And the vast majority of tower blocks, I would probably suggest, across the country are as well, certainly in terms of local authority management. So taking all that into account and the amount of money we invested, that might seem a bit strange as head of housing then. Obviously, we made an announcement we're going to knock down all 48 tower blocks. We also made, part of that, we also said we would consult with tenants as well. So it was actually never going to be over a five-year period to knock down that level of houses and flats, and we said it would be over 25 years. 2018, we took a report to our committee and went out in a consultation, and in the first lot, it was 14 tower blocks that we proposed to demolish, and we went out and did the consultation on the 14 tower blocks. 82% of tenants come back at the time supporting that stance about the demolition of the tower blocks. But that was phase one. Although we said we'll knock down all 48 tower blocks, we have also said phase two, which would be next year, 2023, we will go out maybe on another 14 or 15 tower blocks, and we'll do the consultation. If the tenants for the tower blocks come back and say they don't want them down, then the council will look at that, and we've made it quite clear if the consultation is against demolition, then we won't demolish them. But 80-odd% in the first phase was obviously in terms of the majority and everything else. And there was reasons for that in the phase one as well, in my opinion, in terms of demand. A lot of these tower blocks were probably the lower demand tower blocks across North Lanarkshire, because we also had two tower blocks we've actually designated for over 60s living, and there's still a significant demand for them. But what we found in our tower blocks is over a period of time, demand started to drop. And these first 14 tower blocks, demand continued to drop. And even now, across a number of tower blocks, demand continues. And it's not because of the condition and the quality of the towers. It's because the general population, certainly North Lanarkshire, have had a change of opinion in terms of aspirations and housing aspirations. And my waiting list now is 12,000 people on the waiting list in North Lanarkshire, and a number of people, the vast majority of people, are saying they don't even want to stay in, not even tower blocks, they're actually saying they don't want to stay in kind of the traditional tenement type flats either. People are aspiring, and certainly in North Lanarkshire, a bit different from probably Glasgow and Edinburgh and even down to London's, but in North Lanarkshire, because of kind of the geographic kind of nature of the area, people are wanting front and back doors. And they've been quite clear that that's what they want in terms of, and they're refusing. People who are on the homeless list are saying, I don't want a tower block. Despite all the good things that I've highlighted there, people, so it's about people's expectations and housing aspirations, and that's driven this to a certain extent. So it's a social kind of issue I'm coming from, rather than the actual structural issue, which is quite a brave decision in terms of North Lanarkshire to look at the kind of social aspect of it and to have come up with that kind of stance. And we have taken what people have said to us. In terms of the first 14 that are coming down, four tower blocks are already down in North Lanarkshire. So they were already down, people moved out, and we started building. We reckon we will build 65% of the properties that were taken down, we'll build 65. So the very nature of a tower block think Mary or Deborah said about 22 high in Glasgow. Our highest is 19. Our lowest was 8. So we range from 8 high to 19 high. But a lot of times tower blocks are in small bits of ground, high density in there. So some of the tower blocks have got loads of ground, and we'll build actually 3 that are down in Airdrie just now. There was 138 houses, and we'll build 160 on that site. It's the only site we'll actually build more low-rise houses than we had. Other sites, we'll get 40 or 50%. But overall, the first 1,700 properties that we're knocking down out the 14 towers, then we will build 60 or 65% of lower properties front and back door. But it's very much been driven on tenants' views rather than the council just coming along and saying this is what we want to do. And it's based on the demand analysis across North Lanarkshire just now.
Kieran?
Yeah, so was cladding and insulation not the overriding motivational factor for this decision?
Definitely not, Kieran. The North Lanarkshire had already embarked on pre-Grenfell. We had already started a structural survey. We don't have any ACM in North Lanarkshire. It was never an issue for us. The cladding certainly went on in the 90s. We started overcladding in the early 90s. Our last block was overclad in Motherwell in about 2012. So there was quite a difference there and gap between all 48 towers. We actually, again, this might sound contradictory, but we have just spent £22 million on 4 blocks in Coat Bridge. And these were blocks that were overclad in the early 90s. And as part of the structural survey, when we were looking at compartmentalisation, and we had some concerns, not fire safety concerns, but just concerns after 20-odd years of the cladding being up, that we made a decision actually to remove the cladding and redo it. But that was based on wear and tear rather than anything to do with the fire risk. And we've just spent £22 million on the 4 blocks. It includes redoing the cladding, and it also includes putting sprinklers in the blocks as well and other fire safety measures. And people might say, why are you spending £22 million? But as I said earlier, these blocks, even if the tenants ultimately vote that these blocks are going to come down, they're still going to be up for another 25 years. So clearly we've got to make sure we invest and continue to have the high standards. And that's what we will continue to put new lifts in as well. So we will continue to invest in the properties because they're going to be up for the next 20 to 25 years. And could be longer if tenants then decide that they don't want them down. But still, the feedback we are getting, even during that investment, as people are saying long term, they would prefer to see the towers taken down and other properties put in their place.
Yeah, of course, since that initial consultation, the worldwide events have intervened, and the council is to reinstate 200 homes across Tower Blocks and Coatbridge and Wishaw to help people escaping the conflict in Ukraine. I think, first of all, that move should be applauded because the alternative for these families is, well, it's extended stays in hotels, isn't it?
The council were approached by the Scottish Government in late June, I think it probably was. There are 3 hotels in North Lanarkshire being used just now. My understanding across the country, there's real pressures in terms of the number of families coming in. And North Lanarkshire have always had a history in terms of assistance. It was Congolese going way back. It was Syrian families, Afghanistan families, and then recently the Ukrainian families. So the council were approached because these are two of the tower blocks that will be coming down, and approval has been granted to bring them down. We still have families living in these blocks just now. And one of the blocks in Berkshaw and Wishaw that you mentioned there has actually got a sprinkler system, all the fire, new fire doors. So we had invested in that one previously. It's actually in really good condition. There were actually 55 empty houses in it out of 70 because we had been emptying and moving people out. The government asked us, would we be able to quickly reprovision the block to move families in for an up to 2 years to start trying to take the pressure. And we agreed the 2 blocks, the one in High Courts in Coatbridge and the one up in Wishaw. And we've actually been working on them just now because we've taken some services out of these blocks, and we've been putting some of the services back in. And we have committed to doing that for the next, certainly having these properties available for families fleeing the conflict for the next, certainly, 2 to 3 years.
Once these homes are refurbished, obviously you've had help with Scottish Government funding to do so. Are there any chance for a stay of execution for these blocks?
Absolutely not. The decision's already been taken, Kieran, mm-hmm. and we've been quite clear on that. It's part of a wider regeneration. So the blocks in Coatbridge, for instance, it's one block that sits, it's 3 double blocks. It was actually 600 houses, nearly 200 per block. So it's part of a wider one of the other blocks of flats has only got 9 families left in them now. So we will be pulling that down next year. So it's part of a wider regeneration in terms of building houses on these sites. The one over in Wisher has got 70 homes in it. But round about, there's already 17 low-rise flats that are already all empty. So I'm talking 17 blocks of flats. It's 300 houses. And there's also another tower block there. We're on site there building 100 houses just adjacent to this tower block. But the whole area there will be completely regenerated with 300, 400, 500 houses built on that site. So both of these sites are actually part of a wider, but we're able to actually keep families in them and still do some of the wider regeneration just now. But it's just putting the programme back slightly. And then obviously we'll work really closely with these families. It's not a case that the families will just then be made homeless. Obviously I've got statutory responsibility for homelessness in North Lanarkshire anyway, but it's to allow the families to move out of the hotel just now to get into safe and secure. We're giving them secure tenancies as well, so they'll move into safe and secure properties, and then we will work with the families to actually then see what their needs will be moving forward to probably rehouse them at a later date.
Stephen, this question is going to sound like it comes from the dark ages, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it legitimate when these houses are considered good enough for refugees, and when these houses, in your opinion, are in good order and have been invested in, multis in general we're talking about here, is it legitimate for homeless people to say, no, I don't want that kind of house? Homeless people are facing an emergency, and you would think that actually they should be prepared to accept a house in a multi. Why not?
So the standard and quality, I'll go back to it, Jimmy. The standard and quality of the multi-storey flats in North Lanarkshire are excellent and continue to be excellent. Although I've said we're knocking down 14 in the first phase, I still have another 34 tower blocks across North Lanarkshire, and I made it quite clear we continue to invest in them. We continue to have concierge 24 hours a day. The community aspect that Mary said, that there's still loads of tenants association working really, really closely with the council, who clearly influence in terms of the policy going forward. But the tower blocks are still a really good place to live in. And people do. There's still other tower blocks across North Lanarkshire that people are still accepting. But what I'm saying is we are definitely finding demand is falling. And what we're also finding, it's not just people refusing them at that point. People are taking the tower blocks, but it's sustainability. People are taking the tower blocks, and then they're actually applying for another house fairly quickly and want to move out again. And they're not wanting to move out again because of the standard that they're ultimately asking. They want a garden. I know it sounds a bit ridiculous because of the weather in Scotland, but people are wanting their own personal space, and that's certainly a big thing that we're getting. And I would suggest it is different from city centre living as well. North Lanarkshire Council is also looking at our town centres. We're trying to regenerate our town centres, and we will build more flats in the town centres to try and get people back in with less parking. But it's a different way that people want to live. But we're finding in the areas where the tower blocks are in, people are wanting front and back doors in their own personal space rather than the communal living.
Deborah, we should come to the bite-sized briefing now. You've heard a whole lot of issues raised in this discussion. Are these the kind of things that you're going to try and cover in this session?
Absolutely. So it's interesting to me when I was kind of doing my research on, we always do research in our briefings to see actually what's happening and what can we bring to the sector. There's so many different organisations are doing something different with their high-rise block. So obviously North Lanarkshire has taken a decision not to get rid of them all, but the tenants have come to the decision that they don't want to live there. So you have to kind of go with that, where people want to live. You can't keep empty buildings standing there. But other organisations like Queen's Cross who are coming along have completely regenerated theirs. I think North Glasgow have done the same. So they're all doing something slightly different. So what is it their customers are saying about their high-rise buildings? What do you call them? Multi-stories or high-rise? I keep getting corrected. high-rise, should we go with that? So everybody's doing something slightly different. So I find that incredibly interesting. And obviously, as I said earlier before we started recording, I worked as a project delivery officer when I worked for GHA. So I would go round to all of these residents in these buildings and convince them to take this cladding, and not just for multi-stories, but for all sort of building types. So I do feel some culpability that we're now obviously going back out and actually having to survey this again. And if you live in, because of this, the situation with tenures in some areas in Scotland, if you've got owners in those buildings and quite a lot of them are obviously having to fork out the money to pay for these surveys, or it's affecting their insurance and so on. So one of the other things we do at Share is we run a load of networks. One of the networks that we run is a factoring network, and that was a lot of questions that were coming out of it, like what's going to happen with this cladding, how is it going to affect insurances, who's going to pay for the surveys and so on. So that's where it kind of mushroomed from. It kind of started off with that question, and then from us investigating what other organisations were doing. So it's going to cover a bit of everything. It's going to cover a little bit of the health and safety that you spoke about. It's going to cover a bit about what people are doing in different areas. And then it's going to look at the cladding. So we've got someone along from the Scottish Government talking about the single building assessment and what they're going to focus on multi-stories, but it covers all sort of building types. So you don't necessarily have to have high-rise blocks come along to get something from it. It'll cover a multitude of other things as well, and insurance as well. So we've got someone along to talk about how insurance premiums are going to get affected after you've done your building survey. So we've got Alistair Ross coming along from the he's the head of public policy from the Association of British Insurers. So he's kind of come along and talk about what the effects are if you've got this kind of cladding that's been identified. So I think there was a thing in the Herald today that was talking about this cladding that was on, that's still on the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Thankfully, that's obviously not a problem that we're going to come across in a lot of the buildings that we've got on, but we can't all, you know, sit here and say it's not going to be an issue when they start investigating it. But it's just what's going to happen. So it started off just with one question at our network, and then it mushrooms into this, you know, event that we're on today. We were doing a health and safety event, and we're like, this is based on, you know, high-rise buildings, because there's lots of different issues that people are facing. And I think I read an article on North Lanarkshire. This is, and that's where it kind of went from, like, where do we go from here? What are others doing? Are others doing the same? So just to kind of revert it back to, you know, my own, I know I've never lived in one, as I've said, but I have kind of worked with them. And when I worked mainly with the kind of homeowner side of it, some of the things that GHA were doing were actually converting them to mid-market properties and or just renting them out to one specific group, say nurses, for example, or elderly people who might, you know, prefer living in that because it's more secure for them. So some of them were already doing things like that. But it's not to say it's not a challenge. So I think it's going to be a really interesting event. Loads of people have asked questions about it at the network, so they're really interested to hear what it is people like, you know, North Lanarkshire and Queen's Cross and so on are doing to support their, you know, their tenants live, or their customers, the owners that are living in these buildings.
Mari, I was going to ask you now, just to pick up on one last aspect of all of this. Is your flat warm and cosy, or is it drafty and cold?
It's warm and cosy. I've got no problem. I live on the 12th floor. So if anybody was going to have the effects that Deborah was talking about, swaying and stuff like that, it would be me. But it's absolutely fine. I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, it's funny hearing other people's perspective of it, because I always thought that it was going to be quite miserable living in a high-rise flat. But, I mean, I've got two cats. People that live here have got dogs and things like that. It's really quite weird. And the funny thing out of the last kind of 3-4 years, some people own their flats in my block, and they actually rent them out on Airbnb. And people actually come to Glasgow and pay to stay for a weekend in a high-rise flat. So to hear Stephen saying that people don't want to live in them just astonishes me, because people are actually coming here and staying in a high-rise flat for a holiday.
You see, that's just excellent news for Queen's Cross. in terms of heating, though, a net zero. And Stephen, is there a place for high-rise buildings in the net zero world? Is it actually easier to do a district heating system in a high-rise than it is in a street of normal houses?
You would imagine, Jimmy, it would be, yes. We have actually looked at it in the past, and it hasn't been, and we haven't actually been able to get it off the ground to do it. There's, again, the high-rise flats, you can't look at them all just as if they're similar and the same, because they're not. There's a number of different builds over the years as well, and we have some tower blocks that we would really struggle with. We've looked at that in other tower blocks, as Mary said, that heating-wise, then really, really good. we still have 5 tower blocks in North Lanarkshire that get gas heating going into them, for instance, which is very, very unusual. But the other 40 at the start, before we looked at the demolition, were electric. We found over the years tenants have complained about, although, Mary, you're finding it sometimes it's warmer, and I certainly found that growing up. Other people have complained over the years that the flats are actually cold. So it's a mixed bunch out there. It's certainly, there's not one. We've looked at a variety of different things, and there's no one thing you can do to actually fix it. Net zero is massive for us all in terms of the cost. North Lanarkshire, we're looking at billions of pounds, actually, in terms of net zero going forward, and we're looking at a whole business plan round about that. I take what you're saying, Mary, 100%. There's just a difference between Glasgow and there's not a lot of Airbnbs, for instance, in North Lanarkshire. We were fortunate to a certain extent that we had 6 owners. So out of my 4,000 properties, there was only 6 owners. So it's not an issue for us in terms of looking forward. Cumbernauld Sanctuary Housing had already demolished a number of tower blocks in the Cumbernauld area previously, and that whole site's now regenerated with mainly flats, actually low-rise flats. They had a massive number and ended up CPOing a massive number of owners in there. They'd never overclad the buildings. They couldn't put roofs on because of the level of owners, and there was real water penetration issues in their properties. They were damp and they were cold. And that's actually finished now in terms of the demolition. So there's already a history in North Lanarkshire, but that was via Sanctuary. But the rest of the tower blocks in North Lanarkshire are all owned by the council. And as I say, there's 6 owners. There was no owners in the first phase, so we had no issues whatsoever. It was all 100% council tenants. So it was an easy enough one once we got the approval. We didn't have any issues with CPO or whatever. But there are definitely differences, Jimmy. I'm not sitting here to say one way or the other. We're balanced. We're happy to look at both sides. But there is differences between Glasgow and North Lanarkshire.
One thing I was going to ask Kieran to come in here. He's been doing a bit of research on multis, which are in the private sector, new developments. And that kind of chimes with what Mary was saying about people using multis for Airbnb.
Just that there is very much still a desirable tenure for a lot of people. There's an emerging mid-market rent sector, which was mentioned. The build-to-rent sector, there's tower blocks going up all over Glasgow city centre at the moment of people, professionals, families, single people, all sorts, still desiring to live in the city centre. I was just wanting to bring in Mary there as well. When you're hearing about that consultation that North Lanarkshire tenants were given, if a similar one came across your doorstep tomorrow, how do you think you would respond and how do you think it would generally go down?
I think it would be a mixed response. I know that, I mean, this block went up, I think this block went up in around about the 60s or 70s, and there's still a lot of people who have been here for maybe 20, 30 years, and I don't think they would want to move. I really don't, because they've been here for so long. They all know each other. I mean, my two neighbours who sadly died this year were in their 90s. And they both lived here since they were in their like 40s. They had kids here and everything like that. And they were very, very good friends, both widowed. And I don't think people would want to move. I certainly wouldn't want to move. I love living here. I've got the best of living in the world. I live in the city centre at the top of Hope Street. I mean, my God, my friends can't believe where I live and how accessible it is for everything. So I don't think people would want to move from here at all. I don't hear any complaints from anybody who lives in the high rises. A lot of the grumbles I hear from people is from the kind of low rise houses around here that are like maybe 2, 3, 4 high flats. They're the ones that have the problems. So it's not in a high-rise at all.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wind this up now because we've had a good chat. We've been around the houses, so to speak, around the multi-storey houses anyway. And there's clearly, it's a big debate that I think is going to be held individually in local authorities all over the country. And it's a brave decision, a courageous decision that North Lanarkshire have taken. But it's also interesting to hear that that decision could be reversed if the aspirations of tenants and local residents were to change. So can I thank everyone who's taken part today, my co-host, Kieran Finlay, who's only occasionally been able to get a word in edgeways today, which I apologise. Deborah Campbell from Learning and Development Office of Inshare, who is doing the bite-sized briefing on the 13th of September, organising that. The future of the high-rise, so check the Shear website and sign up for that. Stephen Llewellyn, who's the head of housing solutions at North Lanarkshire and is in charge of that big programme of redevelopment. And Mary Clark, a very happy high-rise tenant from Queen's Cross Housing Association and from Share. And thank you all for your participation today. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.